Morning, Ireland. 8:10. The United States has said that it has every expectation that Israel will accept a ceasefire deal proposed by President Joe Biden if Hamas also takes the deal. The three-part plan would allow for a six-week-long cessation of hostilities, leading to a second phase which would see the return of all hostages. And in a third phase of the deal, Gaza would be rebuilt with the help of funding from the international community. Israel so far appears to have put the brakes on accepting the deal. Oliver McTernan is a hostage negotiator and co-founder of the Forward Thinking NGO, which promotes peace in the Middle East. And he's on the line now. Good morning, Oliver. Welcome to the programme.
Thank you. Good morning.
Joe Biden said on Friday that it is time for the war to end. There aren't many, I think, who would disagree with that. But is this the deal to achieve it?
Well, it's not a new deal. It's a rehash of what's been on the table almost for the past 7 months. I think what is new is the fact that Biden seems to be putting so much political capital into it. Now, the test is not just will Israel this time, and when we talk of Israel, will Netanyahu in particular be ready to accept it? And secondly, I think, will Biden be ready to walk the talk? You know, it's fine saying it's time for the war to end, but it won't end if he continues to supply the weapons that allows Netanyahu to prosecute the war. So I think there are big questions still on the table. And the initial incompatibility between Biden's words and then the words of Netanyahu saying he's determined to finish the military objective, and that's to eliminate Hamas. I see big problems.
Considering, though, the close relationship between the United States and Israel, I mean, would Joe Biden propose a deal without having some indication that it could be acceptable by Israel?
Well, we've seen before in this war how Biden has expressed, or Blinken has expressed, expectations of Israel, and Netanyahu has consistently ignored them. I think in a way that Biden is in a very difficult situation because we know he's coming up for election in November. His focus is on that. We're told that he's losing support because of among some of the Democratic Party because of his unconditional, no red line support for Israel. Now, I think Netanyahu is very clever at playing that. He's probably prolonging things in the hope that things may change in November and he won't have the same pressure.
What leverage then does Joe Biden have to push Israel towards accepting this deal? Because if Israel doesn't accept this deal, as you point out rightly there, you know, Joe Biden could be in trouble in November. So how far is he likely to push it, and what leverage does he have to push it?
I would say he's got to take the moral courage, not political courage, but have the moral courage to stop supplying arms. I think it is the only thing that will stop Israel prosecuting the war on Gaza as they are at the moment. It is horrendous to think that 2.3 million people face daily inhumane and life-changing conditions. And, you know, I find it totally ironical that in a few days' time, Joe Biden will be on the beaches in Normandy. Now, if you go to Omaha Cemetery, there are 10,000 graves of young Americans, many of whom just spent 2 days in Europe before they were killed. And they were there to establish a new rule-based order that would protect people. Now, here we are seeing that rule-based order being totally ignored, the moral dimension, all of the things we talk about, the Lex Talionis law, you know, the retaliation, all of that, retribution, all are just being ignored. And so I think hopefully that will give Biden moral courage to do what is the right thing.
Joe Biden does have a very good, strong domestic political reasons for wanting the war to come to an end. But Prime Minister Netanyahu also has strong domestic political reasons for wanting to continue the war. If Netanyahu did accept this agreement, what are the implications for him and for his political future then as head of government?
Well, I think you've pinpointed the problem, that he knows that if he agrees to a permanent ceasefire, then his premiership is at great risk. And many would say it's finished, because the day this war ends will be the day of accountability. Why was there a lapse in security that allowed the atrocities of October the 7th to happen in the way they did? So I think you're right there, that it's in his interests to prolong this, not to end it.
Is there a risk that all of this politicking, all of this diplomacy, that all of this will become the focus rather than what's happening in Gaza, what's happening in Rafah, where the slaughter of innocent Palestinians has been taking place?
That has always been my worry, that when we have this public diplomacy and negotiations, you know, Biden making announcements, Netanyahu making announcements, the whole world media is distracted from the daily reality of what's happening in Gaza. I mean, I'm getting on a daily basis the most horrendous pictures from people I trust on the ground of what's happening through what would seem to be indiscriminate bombing, you know, the destruction of whole neighborhoods, and of course the malnutrition that is now clearly setting in, you see, from the photographs of not just the children, but some of the adults as well.
As an experienced negotiator yourself, I mean, how much hope do you hold out that the diplomatic push will now come to bring an end to the war in Gaza?
Well, I think one has to live in hope. And as I say, it's Biden is right in saying it's time for the war to end. He's gone out publicly this time higher than he has before. Let's hope that he will keep that push on Netanyahu, whatever the price for Netanyahu be, and that he will get the support of European and other global leaders, because there is what people in Gaza constantly say to me is, how can the world accept the conditions we're living in, the lack of our common humanity and empathy is clearly obvious to them. So hopefully this will be a moment of change.
Oliver, thank you for speaking with us this morning. That's Oliver McTernan, hostage negotiator and co-founder of the Forward Thinking NGO. So as we've been hearing about the chances of a three-stage peace deal bringing an end to the war in Gaza, one question which is not answered in Joe Biden's plan is who would run Gaza after the war is over. I've been speaking with Dr. Vincent Jurak, who lectures in Middle East politics at the UCD School of Politics and International Relations. And I asked him about Israel's role, if any, in Gaza after their invasion is over.
There's a lot at issue here. There are very different perspectives on what might happen in Gaza, you know, the day after, as everyone tends to refer to it now. And they pull in highly divergent directions. And in turn, none of these plans, none of these sets of expectations as to how Gaza might be governed or otherwise seems to have been thought through. So at every level, there are all sorts of problematic aspects to this. So you have Netanyahu on the one hand, who talks again about demilitarization, who talks about occupying and controlling the Egyptian border, which is something that seems to have been affected recently. And then rather vaguely talking about a Gaza that might or might not be run by Palestinians, might or might not be run by a reformed Palestinian authority. On the right, you have figures like Bezalel Smotrich and Itamar Ben-Gvir, you know, very, very hard right-wing figures who will openly talk about occupying Gaza indefinitely, militarily, and building settlements, which would come at enormous cost to Israel, both in terms of expenditure, potential loss of life, and, of course, in terms of the opposition of just about every key actor in the international arena.
And I suppose one of the key questions for Israelis will be whether the conditions continue to exist after the war is over to allow Hamas to rebuild? Other than Israeli occupation of the Gaza Strip, is there any potential government that could run Gaza that would prevent Hamas from regrouping?
Well, this is the question. The issue is both how a potential government or a governing body might be identified, might be put in place, and also what they'll be governing, because one of the critical aspects of this that has been neglected is that in the eyes of many, including UN bodies, Gaza is, if it's not already ungovernable, is becoming ungovernable. I mean, it's being destroyed.
Uninhabitable even.
Almost uninhabitable. Mm-hmm. And the sheer cost of addressing that is almost incalculable. The question as to who might govern, again, there are some very, very wish-fulfilling sort of expectations of a reformed Palestinian Authority. There's very little evidence of that, of the willingness of key regional actors, the Saudis and the other Gulf states, their willingness to subvent the reconstruction of Gaza. But they're not going to be willing to do that without progress on a political track, which is something that all of the key actors in the Israeli political spectrum reject at the moment.
What about the Palestinian Authority there? You mentioned that it's unlikely, you think, that the Palestinian Authority can be reformed to a point where it could be put in to run Gaza. How does the Palestinian Authority view its role in Gaza's future?
The Palestinian Authority has blown hot and cold on this. At times it has rejected any involvement in Gaza unless there is very significant movement on broader Palestinian aspirations for statehood, for self-determination. At other times, there seems to be some token reference to the need for reform and the possibility of the PA returning to Gaza. Of course, it was prominent there in the past. But the problems of the Palestinian Authority aren't simply about reform. They're about its identification on the part of many Palestinians as central to both American and Israeli ambitions, simply to police the West Bank in a way that is that conforms to Israeli priorities first and foremost rather than Palestinian.
Could there be a role for the United Nations, or does it have the capital, the standing with Israel to play any role in running Gaza after the war?
That's another really interesting question, and one of the priorities that Netanyahu seems to have identified in terms of post-conflict Gaza is in fact the removal of UNRWA, the UN body that is dedicated to dealing with Palestinian refugees and Palestinian welfare and other concerns in the West Bank and of course in Gaza. So Israel is quite hostile to the UN and indeed to international bodies at the moment, as we know. It's difficult to see how that would play into their plans, at least for the future.
That was Dr. Vincent Durack, lecturer in Middle East politics at UCD, speaking to me earlier.